Hi, I'm Allison. I'm an alcoholic. A nervous alcoholic, but that's good. I want to thank Mary Beth for asking me to come present. My first reaction was, of course, no. And I had many excuses as to why I could say no, because I've been traveling a lot for business. And it's funny because I talked to her three times, and it kind of got changed three times. And every time I was still available. So, I really thought, and I can't lie today in my life, and that's just the truth. Had I said no out of fear, because that's what it would have been, then fear would be ruling my life instead of God. And I've already done that, and that didn't work. And also, it gives me an opportunity to seek conscious contact with God, because the truth is I do have fear. But I get another opportunity to consciously grab God by the hand and say, let's go, we got something to do. And I honestly believe, because it got three times, and all three times I was available when I was home maybe 5 days out of 30, that I was supposed to be here to do this. So I thank you for that opportunity. And this meeting in particular has a lot to do with the person I am today. I was 3 years sober. I was page 52 in every breath and didn't have a clue that I was. I was suicidal when I wasn't at meetings, but when I'd go to meetings, I felt better. So I really just thought, I'm just crazier than the rest of you. And I honestly thought I was different, not with my drinking, but, you know, I'm just a little more messed up inside and nobody can know. And the longer you stay away from a drink, the more your ego tells you can't tell anyone what a mess you are. And I had for like 6 months, there was a man that just every time he saw me, he said, Allison, you got to come to Bernardsville. And I was going to like 20 meetings a week. And I was like, oh, yeah, because I need another meeting. And, you know, talk about a closed mind. And I went to him one morning. It was a 7:30 in the morning meeting in Morristown, and I told him that I had a knife to my wrist the night before, and that I didn't even need alcohol, that I could actually kill myself, and I was smiling with that knife to my wrist. And he gave me the number of a woman who was a group member here then. He dialed her number at 7:15 in the morning. He told me her name and said, tell her you need help. And I got on the phone to this strange woman at 7:15 in the morning. She said, you know, what's your problem? And I once again described page 52. Little did I know I could have just said turn to page 52, but I dumped all my drama on her. And she just went, oh, yeah, I can help you. Meet me Saturday in Bernardsville. And I said, well, where's that? And she said, if you want to be there, you'll find it. And she hung up the phone. And I thought, oh, this is pleasant. And then you come here and they don't introduce yourself on Saturday. And I'm like scared once again. But what happened was, 3 years sober, I was willing to do anything. And underneath that, all I really believed AA didn't work. Those were my beliefs, was that AA didn't work. The truth today is that I didn't work this program the way it was written. I'm a quitter. My inventory shows that time and time again. And you give me a half measures, I'll take it. Even if it means I get a little relief for a little while, I'll take it. And that's what I was doing. I mean, my first four-step, I did a four-step. I felt better telling someone all this stuff, but I never moved past that. You know, I guess I did a fifth step. And, you know, I gave God my alcohol problem, and I was running the rest of my life. And so at 3 years sober, when you end up with a knife to your wrist, you kind of realize that your way's not working. And which takes me to the place of, I'm heading towards step eight, of how I became so willing to do step eight. Because, you see, I had been here three times prior to that 3 years, which now I have, my sober date is December of 1997. I do not know the date because, again, I did not believe AA worked, and I was just here to rest for a little while until I died. I just know it was December of 1997. And I had been here three other times, and I had a year sober and a year and a half twice. So I no longer, in those year and a half year, had the mental obsession. I no longer had the physical craving, and yet I returned to a drink. So, and I tell you, I did step five. I mean, I did That inventory compared to the inventories I have done since that 3 years sober are quite different. But the truth is, I followed the directions I was given at the time, and I did what I did. But I never did step 8. And I certainly then, of course, never did step 9. And I returned to a drink. So I have my own experience to tell me, to learn from, that I did not finish these steps. And after being separated from alcohol for 1.5 years, with no thought in my head of drinking and no physical craving, I returned to this. So that alone gave me the willingness to go, I better do what I'm told. Now, at this 3 years sober, and I hook up with this woman, she sits me down, she asks me if I'm willing to go any length. And I'm absolutely desperate. My life's a wreck. I'm a wreck, spiritually, mentally, physically, you name it. I'm just a wreck. You just can't fill me up. Nothing is working. Even the stuff that worked when I was out there, it just doesn't work. I don't even try anymore. And she had me write in the front of my book that with the date that I was willing to go to any lengths. And she told me basically what I was doing was making a deal with myself, with God, and with her. And like I said, I have no problem writing that today. Okay, let's go. Let's go. And she told me that there was going to come a time I wasn't going to be willing. And she mentioned these particular steps. And she told me she was going to remind me that I made a deal with myself, with God, and with her. I'm going to read from the book here what it says about step 8 because it's so short. And it's funny, when I was asked to do step 8, I, of course, wanted to run the show, which I know does not work, so I didn't. But I'm thinking, can't you give me any other step? Because step 8 is so simple, how am I going to talk for an hour on step 8? Like, I could go for 2 weeks on step 3. I could talk for a couple hours on step 2. I got so much experience with step 2. Step 8? You know, what am I going to talk? Can I do 8 and 9? And then actually for a little while I was doing 8 and 9, because then I could just do a little bit on 8 and do the whole rest of the time on 9. But actually knowing that this was kind of my assignment, I sat down with it and I found a lot about step 8, which was really good for me. So hopefully I can share some of that tonight. So anyhow, it says, now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now, I guess that means right now, we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. We haven't the will to do this. We ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. And I guess they're just reminding me, kind of like my sponsor told me she was going to before I even got here, because just in case I forgot, which I do forget. And that's why I need to keep doing this and keep doing this, because I have a very convenient forgetter that, like I said, will just remember what it wants to. So basically, you know, like I said, I find step 8 very simple because I never had a problem with step 8 because I was in that place of desperation. I was in that place of following directions. So what I'm going to do is tell you my experience with step 8. And then I'm going to also tell you about my experience working with others with step 8, because my experience is very different from some of the women I worked with. And that's a whole nother experience. But basically, I've always looked at step 8 as two parts. Is you make a list and you become willing. And that list is basically already done for me from my fourth step, from all my inventories. Because even my resentment inventory, it really comes back to I did something, my attitudes I brought towards you, anything I did is I've harmed you that then I have this resentment at you. And of course, my harms inventory and my sex inventory and my fears. Because of my fears, I did things to harm people. Because, like I said, these things ran my life. These things owned me. They made up who I was. I was a walking fear. And because of it, I was the tornado roaring through the lives of others. My mother used to call me Hurricane Allison, And my father called me cancer, and this is what I was in their life. And I can tell you this was accurate. They weren't just being mean, you know, and they don't call me those things anymore, you know. Anyhow, so this willingness. Now here's the thing. Step 8 says, put it in here somewhere. I did put a marker in here. Step 8 says, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And for me, the operative word there is all. It says the word all 2 times. All means all. But yet, I changed that to maybe, and oh no, I'm never doing that. All means all. I have come to witness and believe that there are 2 schools on step 8. And first I'll tell you my school and my beliefs. It's not my school, it's the one I fit into. And then I've been witness and worked with women to another school. Now for me, all means all. So I don't move to step 9 if I'm just willing to make some of them. That's for me. Now I can tell you I didn't struggle with this. All meant all. When I was told to go home and make that list after all my inventories, after 6 and 7, I went home and I came back with more amends than I even needed to make. And I remember my sponsor saying, why are they on there? You didn't do any. I didn't know. I thought maybe I did because I have some bad thoughts. And I was just willing to do whatever, you know. And I found, especially particularly with 8 and 9, there's a guidance, sponsor guidance. I've never done an amends ever without speaking to someone first because my instincts get involved. My reasoning gets involved. They did this to me, so I'm not doing all of that, gets involved. So I've never made an amends without running it by someone first. But all means all, so I'm told to pray until it comes. Now, all means all to me because what it comes back to is my first step. Do I believe that if I don't make all these amends, it might lead me back to a drink? Now, my own experience has showed me not making amends has led me back to a drink. So I don't need to be convinced anymore. I don't need my own running the show to convince me any longer. I've done that through 3 relapses in AA. And let me tell you, even though I never did these steps the way the directions asked me to, I made some amends. I absolutely made some amends before I drank again. You know, the ones that I would look good. You know, saying I'm sorry, the ones that I could manipulate things a little to get my way, the ones that fed my ego a little, because I did not have an honest and sincere desire to right my wrongs. It came from, because, you know, I think a lot of it was because it was in my head and not in my heart. And I think a lot of it was because I'd never really done step 2. That was always my stumbling block, was I gave God the alcohol and nothing else. And I only got God involved when I ran into trouble. I was still running my life the way I did with a drink. You know, I'd try everything I could, just like switching from beer to vodka to wine. You know, never occurred to me, just put it down. It's just, you know, I needed to play chemist to find the right thing. And this is what I was doing with my life problems. And I was page 52, and I was incredibly spiritually sick. And I had not come to believe. I'd come to believe that for some reason I come into AA and this God thing takes care of the alcohol problem because I am a low-bottom drunk. I drink and drug round the clock 24/7. So the fact, even with 3 relapses, that I can stay away from a drink for a year to a year and a half is an absolute miracle without a spiritual experience. Absolute miracle. So why do I need to do the rest of this? I haven't drank because that's what I'm here for. I got a drinking problem. You know, again, because you don't read the book. You don't realize drinking's only a symptom. I was in a meeting. I think it was my second meeting here on a Saturday night, and someone read page 52, and I was like, for the hour, why did anyone ever tell me that was there? Like, oh, my God, that's me. It's been in this book the whole time, and no one ever showed it to me. And that day was huge for me. And that day I caught on fire even more. You know, when I started this work over 3 years ago, the real work, my spirit has been on fire ever since. I think it probably has something to do with being in AA and suffering for quite some time. And then knowing there's a solution and there's tremendous freedom involved. What I knew was freedom, I now know, what I thought was freedom, I now know was relief. And I've been set free. And I did none of this. You know, it is because of a God in my life. The God because I want to stand in the sunlight. You know, every time I read Bill's story and it says, I stood in the sunlight at last, I just said it, I get chills. I can feel that because I've been there. I've been in that dark place, and I've been in that dark place in AA. I've been in that dark place picking and choosing what I'm going to do. So to me, all means all. That's it. You know, I happen to have gotten hooked up with some people that are no-nonsense. I'm not as no-nonsense. I am, but the women I'm no-nonsense with leave. So I've tried another approach. And so I've realized there is more than one way. Because my willingness doesn't necessarily mean someone else's willingness. And all meant all. So I made this list, and I became willing to make all my amends, and that was it. And that was it for me with step 8. And now I'm going to tie this in. About 3 weeks ago, I committed a harm. It was big. Family members, my sister's girlfriend, there were harms committed on me also. Did a 10th step, found my part, made amends to my mother, refused to make amends to my sister's girlfriend. Absolutely refused. It's been playing in the back of my head for weeks, for 3 weeks now. And I'm at the place now. Now, 3 weeks ago, I hate her. I'm never making amends. Never. Never. And I meant it. I'm now at the place that I'm willing to write a letter. And I have to tell you, this is not my doing. It's because I made a deal with God. It's because I don't want to drink. It's not because of anything to do with this woman. I also know when I make this amends, they're going to be like, you know, good. And I'm not going to get an apology back, which is not why I make amends. I have to clean my side of the street. But I can tell you that I'm watching this power work in my life despite my best efforts to keep it out. Because I hate this woman. I don't want to make amends. I cannot live my life that way. I will get there. You can probably ask me in another 3 weeks and I'll tell you the amends is done. I can tell you that's very slow for me today to, in a 10th step, know crystal clear my harms, done the writing on it, found my part, found where my instincts were threatened, found what areas of self were affected, and then found my part and avoided this long to make amends. Because I do this, all means all. I think what happens is this pain they were in has lessened. They're kind of getting used to this sober, good life. And they forget. You know, they forget how much pain they were in. They're actually living on the power of a good life. And, again, my experience shows me that given enough time, I will be led back to a drink. That is not something I want. Again, it all comes back for me to my first step experience. Am I the person on page 21? Am I the real alcoholic? Am I the person that goes to bed so drunk I order sleep around the clock and yet I wake up searching for more booze? You know, have I conceded, surrendered, and admitted to my innermost self that I'm alcoholic? And because of all this, and do A, B, and C fit? Am I, I'm so bad with the quote and you have to bear with me. That I'm alcoholic and could not manage my own life. That no human power could have relieved my alcoholism. And that God can and will if he were sought. Am I convinced of these things? This is where my whole first step lies. And if I am convinced of these things, which I was thoroughly convinced. I was taken through this work very thoroughly. Very painstakingly. And I appreciate every second of it. Because I'm convinced of this, particularly that no human power could relieve my alcoholism, I moved into step 2 because I need a power. Lack of power is my problem. So because I need this power and I need to start getting right with this power and I need to start taking certain attitudes towards this power and the problem, and they tell me this power is deep down within me and that's where it's always been. The problem is it's blocked. I can't get to it, and I'm always looking out here for everybody else's power and other things to give me power. And again, 3 years sober, you are absolutely beaten by self-will into a place of reasonableness. Alcohol beat me there, and then I came in and did half measures, and I got less than nil. You know, I thought I was okay for a while because I wasn't drinking. But I was getting sicker every day. I was getting more blocked every day. The first thing ever, I came into AA in November 1993, November 28th, 1993. And the very first thing that attracted me was the St. Francis prayer. And it is still the thing that attracts me the most. That has never left me. And I wanted to be this channel of peace. And I do this visualization a lot, and I picture this channel in me. And I picture all this garbage in the way. You know? So I want to come to believe in this power because I desperately need it. And because it's the only thing. Because no human power, and trust me, I tried it all. You know, I had many fights with this God thing. But like I told you, I could talk about step two for weeks, my experience with step two. What I really mean is I could talk about how to not do step two for weeks. And so I believe that one step flows into the next. So if I believe this, I move into the third step. They tell me this coming to believe is a process. I believe this. And I had to start somewhere. So I make this decision in the third step, basically to continue with the rest of the steps. Basically, my decision says, I want to stand in the sunlight of spirit. I want to be unblocked. And what I also find out is that I have problems with God's universe. I have problems with my fellows. I have problems with myself. I have problems towards life. I have problems with everything. So what I find out in the first three steps, in 1, 2, and 3, is that those are my steps to start getting right with God. And I just said I have problems with my fellows and with God and with myself and with the universe and with life and everything. I have problems with everything. So these first three steps start to get me right with God. And then 4 through 7 start to get me right with myself. And step 8 is the first time besides a sponsor that I'm dealing with another human being. Now, in the third step, people, you know, third step, well, how do I just sum this up? The third step asks me to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand them. Now, what I know today is that what I need to do is get my will aligned with God's. And I get those directions in the 11th step. And so I can't really completely do this third step until I do 4 through 9. Oh. So here I am. I mean, I hear people say all the time, you know, I'm working my third step and I'm working my third step. And, you know, I was told this when I came in to just, you know, do the 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Well, I'm staying blocked forever then. I can't afford to do that. I need to do 4 through 9. You know, Joe and Charlie compare these steps to baking a cake, and I totally identify with that. You know, I come into AA and I want a cake. Kind of like I'm willing to go to any lengths. I want a cake. Well, there's 12 steps to baking this cake. And I put let me tell you, my last 2-4 steps were intense. They were brutal. And my 5th steps last for days and hours. And they were brutal. I put a lot of effort into this. What if I stop there? Well, that effort means nothing. You can't just go up to 7 and think you've got a cake. You know, you got to follow all 12 steps to bake a cake. Or I'm not going to have a cake. And no matter how many times I mix the batter and poured it in the pan and grease, floured and greased my pans, it doesn't matter. I'm not getting a cake. But I see this. It is so, I shouldn't say this out loud, but I'm saying it anyway because it's coming. It is so frustrating to work with people and watch them stop, especially after you've watched them do some amazing 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th work. And then they make a couple amends and they stop. And they look at you like you've got 6 heads when you're like, hey, what's going on with your amends? What are you doing here? You know, and you stick the foot up the butt and you kick them a little more and you keep calling them on and then they don't like you no more. Well, I'm not here for you to like me. You asked me to help you take you through the steps because you wanted a cake. And now you don't have, you're not even getting a half-cooked cake. You're getting no cake. It's all for nothing. And that's the truth because I've done that. I've done that. I've come so far and thrown it in the trash. And I made an absolute decision. I made a deal. And I'm the biggest deal breaker there is. This is me. I'm telling you, I've had an absolute psychic change. I'm not capable of keeping my own word. Particularly when it comes to myself. I'll keep my word if it makes me look good in your eyes. But not when it comes to myself. I quit on myself. I didn't like me much when I got here. I made a deal with God, myself, and my sponsor, and I'm keeping my deal. And that's it. It's that simple for me. So 1 through 3, I start to get right with God. So then I have this fourth step. And this fourth step is this fact-finding and fact-facing process. And it helps me to find my stock and trade. You know, searching, fearless, thorough, these are the things. I can tell you that my fifth step was much more powerful than my fourth step because I got shown a lot more about my stock and trade in my fifth step that I somehow couldn't see. Imagine that. What I see in this is that my instincts are in collision constantly. And because of this, I have all these defects, shortcomings, whatever, they're the same thing. And these shortcomings cause me to act in ways which cause harm. These shortcomings, when I'm afraid, really act up. And every one of my resentments is rooted in fear. Somewhere along the way, that 100 forms of fear, I think they're lying. I think it's 1,000 forms of fear. You know, but I really thought, you know, I knew I had a few fears. But these fears, they own me. They rule my life. They have me saying no to people because I'm afraid. I have to tell you, God is absolutely working in my life. Allison, I know. I've said no to weddings because I didn't know who was on the guest list. To people I cared about. You know, people I cared about and loved. I was too afraid to go somewhere. I went on a sober cruise 3 weeks ago by myself. I was the absolute, there were 234 recovering alcoholics. And they look up saying, you're here by yourself? Yeah. And I was free. I met so many people. I had the most amazing time. I was not capable of this before. You know, I just was not capable. I just keep experiencing more and more freedom. I asked people to go. Nobody wanted to. People didn't have the money. People didn't want to step outside their box. I was that person. I totally identify. I can do what's comfortable. You know, I can do a year and a half sober. Well, not anymore. But I can do a year and a half sober with my hands tied behind my back. I know how to do that. I know how to stay spiritually sick for a year and a half. I know how to continue to be a tornado in the lives of others for a year and a half. I know how to stay away from a drink for a year and a half. Until I found this. I get very spiritually sick very quickly when I fall off this beam today. Since I have been awakened, I need to continue to do this. So I get this list from my fourth step that takes me into 6 and 7. My fourth and fifth step take me into 6 and 7, where I know I don't have the power to remove these things. I can't wish them away, just like I can't wish my selfishness away, just like I can't wish my alcohol problem away, just like I can't wish my resentments away. I cannot wish these shortcomings away. I need God's help. You know, the third step asks me to be willing, and so does the sixth step. Oh, guess what? So does the eighth step. Oh, it keeps asking me to become willing. Something happens when I become willing. So in 6 and 7, God is the only thing that can remove these things. You know, and again, because of this list of shortcomings, I now have a very long list of harms. Now, you know, the obvious was always the obvious. You know, I can tell you that I had this list of harms from my inventories. I had more to add. You see, because what started happening is, at 2 years sober, I walked into now I stole a great deal of money from my parents because they owed me. They screwed my life up, and they owed me. And I was not that person. I was not that thief anymore. And I walked into my mother's house at 2 years sober, and I was awake when I walked in there. And I saw my mother's first reaction to seeing her daughter was, where was her handbag? And she found it very, you know, she wasn't making an issue of it. I was just watching her. And she was clutching her handbag the whole time I was there. That was, I don't think I ever felt so bad in that 2 years than that moment. That's when it hit me. 2 years sober without a drink, trying every day to be a better person, trying to move towards God, trying to think of others and less of myself. And my mother's peace of mind is still stolen from her. Oh my God, I've done way more damage than I ever even thought. How do you repay peace of mind when you're not even doing these things anymore? And I will tell you, my next instinct was, she wants to act like that, I might as well steal her money again. And that was just a thought. You know, because my instincts were then threatened. You might think less of me. You know, all my stuff filled my head. And then I went to that, look at what I've done. So, I think it's the step book that talks about we go back and we redouble our efforts to making this list. And I really, this is how I do it. It doesn't really say this. Oh, I might say this somewhere because I'm not that creative to think of anything and I'm certainly not that smart. It actually tells me, just kind of go through my life year by year and think of every person I've come in contact with and if I've done anything. You know, I've done stuff like, see, the obvious is the obvious. You know, all the people in my life, I know there's harms. And they're all over there. But there's stuff like the way I drove. I was a maniac, especially if you were in my way getting to Washington Heights to get my trucks. I was an absolute menace to society on the road. You know, that's not an individual person. That's every person who's ever driven on Road 80. You know, I'm an alcoholic. I'm also a drug addict. To me, it's all one thing. I've sniffed lines of cocaine on the highway with little children looking at me. I remember it crystal clear and just looking right back at them doing it. What did I do? It never even, I thought, because you see, the whole world's about me, and this is what I need to be doing right now, and I don't care if you're affected. So when they tell me to redouble my efforts, and I look at a woman when I'm 2 years sober, who isn't smart, her first reaction isn't, there's my sober daughter. Her first reaction is, where's my pocketbook? Because she's still afraid, even though I hadn't taken any money from her in 2 years. I've got some more soul searching to do. So I've done physical, mental, emotional, spiritual damage, and I've stole people's peace of mind. See, and I think we just deal with the obvious. Oh, I lied, I stole, I cheated. You know, we fix those. There's so much more. There's so much more. I've deprived people of so many things, and I'm not that powerful. But when you're a loose cannon running around the way I was, these people can't help. They love you. They care about you. Or how about they're just strangers and they're in your path? I was once again driving to Manhattan. And I was, of course, in a rush. And I'm holding my money out to the toll taker. And he's like, where is it? And I'm like waving my money. I'm like, where's what? Like all nasty and uptight. And he looks at me and says, your smile. This has got to be, how long am I sober? Six? I've been here 11. It's got to be 17 years ago. He's never left me. That man helped me have what I think was a spiritual experience at that moment. This man must see thousands of people in cars every day. And I'm such an absolute tornado that he can just sense my karma going through. Smile, I didn't know what that was for years. All I know is get the hell out of my way and I need to go. You know, and I need more stuff in me before I come down. I need to drink, drug, and be out of me immediately. So please don't talk to me. And this man took time out of his day to really give me a heads up, a smile. I drank harder that night. I mean, I absolutely drank harder that night. The truth, some of it, you might think that's a little thing, a smile. This is how I affected people. I think one of the greatest things I can do today, not great, you know, whatever, in AA, is when a new person comes in and offer them a hello with their name, remember their name and give them a smile. Smile has tremendous power. I didn't even know that. See, I walk around with these attitudes that I'm so unaware of, and I affect people. We just do. So let me get into, wow. Let me get into step eight, some of the blocks for step eight. Is what happens is there's people that really harmed me. Real fancy to imagine, whatever. There's some real harms. So I might have harmed you also, but I use the harm you did to me to minimize mine. Or to help me to not to not, you know, completely own my part, and I don't want to. You know, my emotions put me on the defensive because I'm prey to my emotional nature. You know, that's one of the spiritual blocks. And when people harm me, I've learned that, especially when I'm unwilling to make an amends and they tell me to pray, what I'm really asking for is I need to ask for forgiveness. Now, basically, isn't amends going and asking for forgiveness anyway? Well, if I'm asking for forgiveness, shouldn't I be forgiving those that harmed me? I want to ask for something I'm not willing to give in return. You know, and that forgiveness thing kind of got brought to me in fourth step on the top of, I think it's 67, where they call it, well, I've heard it called a lot of different things. The anger prayer when I'm writing. You know, when a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. God save me from being angry. So when I'm writing and I'm getting all angry, I was told to keep reverting back to that. Because basically what I'm doing is saying they're sick just like me. Not that I'm better. You know, because I can tell you I definitely was that tornado who was the center of the universe and had problems with God, his universe, with life, my fellows, and so forth. So I need to start forgiving those that really harmed me. It starts in the fourth step. But when I'm here making this list, I have to be at this place of forgiveness. If I'm not, I do not have a sincere and honest desire to right my wrongs. And I can tell you that amends I've made that were not sincere and honest did not leave. The blockage did not leave. I've already said I am that channel, and I feel that blockage. Every time I have made a sincere and honest amends, I feel a cinder block being removed. I feel it. I feel that channel for God getting bigger, freer. You know, I've tried to make amends. There were people on my list, absolutely willing, who wanted no part of me. There's a man that left the state of New Jersey because of the harms I did to him. It's not funny. Oh, I told people that story for years. Like, look how powerful I am. I chased a guy out of state. I have tried so many times to contact this guy. I did some horrible things to him. I can't even imagine how I made him feel as a man. And he will not speak to me. But I was so afraid to contact him. And he will not. He moved to Maryland. I've been to Maryland. Every time I go to Maryland, on business a lot. Every time I go, I want to still look him up. I still want to make this amends. But I've been freed because I'm willing. And there's, again, tremendous power in willingness. There are things, I can tell you that this amends to my sister's girlfriend that I'm unwilling to make. In the 3 weeks that I went from I hate her, I'm never making amends, to now I'm willing to write a letter, although my exact response was, oh, did you harm her by a letter? Well, no. So that's not going to work. I said, but I think that's a nice effort on my part. And I got laughed at like Chris is doing. And I was told, no, you're going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying because I want to be free. I make these amends for me, not for the other person. It says that somewhere in here. These amends are so I can get free, so I can complete that third step decision. I made this decision to continue with the rest of the steps so I could become unblocked, so I could do God's will, so I could turn my will and my life over to God. And I can't do that if I'm still walking around in fear, shame, guilt, and remorse from yesterday. I can't. It's just impossible. So yesterday blocks me, and I need to be free of these things, you know. And now the reason I continue to tell you I am continuing to pray till I am willing to make a face-to-face amends to someone I don't want to. And when I go, it will be sincere and honest. And I'll tell you why. Because if I don't, I've had a strong enough first-step experience that I know eventually I will be drinking again. Now you might say, oh, that's just one little amends. How could that lead you back to a drink? It will. My experience has proven it. Now, if you don't believe me, you can do your own experience. You might have a longer threshold than a year and a half. You know, you can go by my experience or you can go on your own. Like I told you, Although I'm sleeping at night and I haven't made this amends, it's festering. It is definitely blocking me out. See, I work for God today. God's conditions are that I keep close to him and perform his work well, while his work is cleaning up the damage I do. And you know, Peter, I love Peter. Peter says, how dare I stop drinking and think that's enough? How dare I? And I'm on that page. How dare I think not drinking is enough? You know, I can create just as much harm today as I did in my drinking. It just might be different. Actually, it's probably even deeper harms today. Because I am more awake, I can hurt you worse. Because usually when I'm hurting you today, it's because I'm fully aware my instincts are threatened. You know, and I forget about God. I block God out instantly because fear comes back. You know, so what I know is that if I'm filled with shame and remorse and guilt, it leads to resentment. Resentment is infinitely grave. It's futile. It robs the hours that might be worthwhile. It leads me back to a drink. Fear. Fear blocks out the sun. It blocks, for me, that's I need the sunlight of the Spirit. I can't get there with fear. It becomes my God. I can't tell you how helpful it is for me to come sit up here tonight and walk through another fear. I was a girl who was afraid of picking up the phone to call the operator. A stranger who had no idea in the world who I was. I could not pick up the phone to call an operator. You think I can sit up in front of a room and tell a group of people the truth about me and not be afraid? But I'm not. I started out afraid, but it was a healthy fear today because I have a God that goes everywhere with me. I have a God that works in and through me. And he works in and through me because I want him. When I want him enough, he comes. You know, I did enough to just have God take this alcohol thing. I found out my problem is not alcohol. My problem is my selfish self-centeredness and my mind. I can't live in yesterday. I have to get free. I need to become willing. If I'm not, I pray. One of the promises in the step book, and it's funny because I am like a big book thumper. And I'm not really that into the step book. But everyone, and I don't even really know what a lot of it means. And I'll tell you, that's probably why I'm not that into it. I try, but I don't understand what a lot of it means. And there's a sentence in step 8 in there that says, this is the beginning of the end of isolation from our fellows and from God. That's a promise. Again, I had problems with God's universe, with life, with my fellows. 1 through 3 gets me with God. 4 through 7 gets me right with myself, and 8 gets me, and 9 get me right with my fellows. 10, 11, and 12 keep me living in this and helping me living right and moving more towards God. I guess all I really have to say at this point is all means all. And that's the school I'm from. And I've found out what happens when all doesn't mean all. You know, and like I said, it's been my sponsor's been teaching me how to develop thicker skin when it comes to sponsees, because I find it absolutely heartbreaking that we make this deal to do this. We make this deal to make this cake, and we just don't make it. We just do enough. And let me tell you, I guess why I get so taken back by it is because I see myself in them. I see the quitter. I see the person who settles for just enough. And, you know, my spirit's been awakened, and not drinking is so little to settle for. The whole world's at my feet today. I went on a cruise by myself. I still need to keep pinching myself. I went to Brazil last year by myself. I'm like, and those are material things, and that's good, but I can live in my skin today. You know, I don't walk around with a knot in my stomach saying, oh, God, they're here. Or, oh, crap, I, ooh. Or, oh, whatever, I owe them money. See, that's what happens when all doesn't mean all. Is I'm consumed by those fears, and they start to own me. How am I supposed to be of maximum service to God and my fellows if I'm afraid to go near you because you might know I didn't repay that money, or because I don't walk the walk, I just talk the talk? I can't work for God and not make my amends. You know, I have not been moving people into step 10 when they're not done with amends. I'm just not, because they're not free. They're not free to take an accurate self-appraisal. They're just not free. I'm not free. Forget about that. I'm not free right now because I've told you the truth. And now I'm accountable to this room to make that amends. And that's the power of telling the truth. You know, there's someone I dislike immensely that I don't want to make an amends to, and I'm going to do it anyway. Just not today. but I'm getting there because if I went today, I'd be doing it out of ego. I wouldn't be doing it because I have a sincere and honest desire, because I want to be free, and because I want to be closer to God, and because I made a third step decision to ask to be unblocked. I think I'm done. Thanks.
Dave Alcalog. Thank you very much, Allison, for sharing your experience in Strength and Hope.
Others, which I